You know that I feel like it's important to express yourself. You got to put your true self out there. And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do that.
That's right. Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know it doesn't get any more comfortable than the Croc clogs and sandals. They are just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit Crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.
All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought so. And get this. Nair, yes, Nair, the OG that I used for years, has now leveled up. And they have these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell amazing. My personal favorite, coconut oil and vitamin E because it's gentle on my skin. And down to that body cream scent, baby, rich cocoa butter and vitamin E. A modern take on indulgent and classic femininity. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Knowing your kids don't just mean knowing their names.
Dead ass, because half the time we be calling every name but the name of the child that you want in that moment.
I didn't even think about that when I said it, but you're right though.
Right? But for me, it's although we encourage communication with our children, you still have to be the probing parent sometimes. Deadass.
Deadass.
Hey, I'm Kadeen.
And I'm DeVal.
And we're the Ellises.
You may know us from posting funny videos with our boys.
And reading each other publicly as a form of therapy.
Wait, I make you need therapy?
Most days.
Wow.
Oh, and one more important thing to mention, we're married.
Yes, sir, we are. We created this podcast to open dialogue about some of life's most taboo topics.
Things most folks don't want to talk about.
Through the lens of a millennial married couple. Deadass is a term that we say every day. So when we say deadass, we're actually saying facts. 100. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We about to take pillow talk to a whole new level.
Deadass starts right now. Story time, baby. What you got for
story
us?
Story time. I got something that happened real recent.
I feel like so many of our, like, we've been talking a lot about parenting recently.
Yes.
Because this is kind of the season that we're in.
Yeah.
With our kids being in so many different phases.
Absolutely.
And we're just like so many revelations, I feel like, that's happened in the past year.
Yeah, I feel like we've been away from them so much that it's like when we come back to them, it's like, man, how did I miss all of this?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that kind of leads me to my story. The story happened actually last night before we filmed this one this morning. But I'm just watching Jackson, like, throughout the whole day. And I'm just looking at him, and I'm like, yo, you good, bro? And he put the head back like, yeah, I'm good. So I'm like, okay. Day goes on. I see he's very pensive. You know, he's doing this a lot, you know, rubbing his eyes. Like, you good, bro? You good? He's like, yeah, I'm good, Dad. I'm good, Dad. I'm good. So finally at night, he's getting ready to go to sleep. I said, all right, buddy, give me a hug, right? So goes to give me a hug. And rather than let him just give me a hug and walk away, I hold on to him.
Mm-hmm.
And when I hold on to him, I feel him kind of relax in my arms for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And then I feel like that, like,
oh, and I pull him
back and I said, what's up? His eyes are all red. Mm-hmm. And I could tell he's trying to, like, hold back tears.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, do you want to talk to me about something? He says, no, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I said, let's go upstairs and talk. We walked away, went upstairs to talk, and he let me know exactly what he was going through. So for karaoke.
Karaoke time. Kadeen
picked the karaoke
song.
What
version?
Song.
Do you want to sing the version that is more commonly known within the Black community?
Yes. Yes, from a movie that you didn't watch, by the way.
Not until I met you.
Yes.
And I still was kind of like, I think I watched it too late because it wasn't funny when I watched it.
Well, I mean, that happens with classics, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you watch stuff 20 years after it was made, that version of comedy is no longer funny.
Right. So, right. So when I watched it then, I was kind of like, I don't get it. So I think I did myself a disservice. I should have watched it then.
Yeah.
And then watch it again after the fact.
But at least you still understand the cultural significance.
Oh, for sure.
Like,
for
they
sure.
All will understand it when I say this. I believe the children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Y'all know where that's from.
You know where that's from.
Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Get them all the strength and pride. If y'all don't know, we're talking about Coming to America, guys.
Coming to America.
Sex your chocolate. Yo. Sex your chocolate. But no, Kate picked that song because we're talking about our children and them actually being the future and knowing that they will not make it to the future if we don't see them.
That's a fact.
And when I mean see them, I mean see them.
See them. Feel them.
Yes.
We'll be back. Let's pay some bills and we're going to expand a little bit more on story time and how I came into the story time. And we both sat and had a talk with Jackson before bed last night just to kind of prep him for the week. So yeah. We'll be back, y'all. Stick around.
Hey, what's good, y'all? I think it's important for you to understand why Black representation in media is important. It's important because the media represents how people view us. And it's important that they understand that Black people are not a monolithic people.
That is a fact. And the next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truth.
Black Stories, Black Truth is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths.
Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story.
In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience.
Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Y'all, let me tell you, after the Love Against the World tour, my social battery is depleted, drained, no energy. How do you feel, babe?
I don't know. You know, it can be easy for people to ignore their social battery and spread themselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up one after another in the wintertime.
That's a fact. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge after that? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time like me.
You know what? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/deadass today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/deadass. During the break, let's quickly talk about a couple things that are important to most people I know. Comfort and style. Crocs, classic clogs, and sandals have both covered.
When I'm talking about style, I mean personal style. There are just so many colors and so many Jibbitz charms that you can add to the Crocs to make them unique. You can dress up your Crocs to match your mood, to match your personality, to fit the occasion, and you can change them up day to day.
I mean, ultimately, you can stand out from the crowd in a way that only you can because it's your personal style. And now, let's talk about comfort. You know, it doesn't get better than Crocs, clogs, and sandals when it comes to being comfortable. Style and comfort are usually a trade-off, but here, they're a package deal. It's like you have cushions on your feet. Soft, stylish, personalized, colorful cushions.
That's right. So why wait? Head over to Crocs.com today and experience the comfort and style of Crocs classic clogs and sandals for yourself. Your feet will thank you.
All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought so. And get this. Near, yes, Near, the OG that I used for years, has now leveled up. And they have these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell amazing. My personal favorite, coconut oil and vitamin E because it's gentle on my skin. And down to the body cream, rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, which is a modern take on indulgent and classic femininity. Okay? It works in as little as 3 minutes, no nicks, no cuts, and the smooth skin lasts days longer than shaving. Nair's new sensational shower and body creams are free of all those nasty chemicals, so you can feel good about what you're putting on your skin. Have a me time moment with Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
All right, we're back. So, story time, we're talking about DeVal having a moment with Jackson where,
yeah,
you know, he was really trying to be in control of his emotions, which is something that we're very big on in the household.
And it was part of the story you don't know about. Oh, I'm gonna tell you.
You're gonna tell me about it too. So maybe fill me in then, and then I'll tell you when I came into the mix.
So we were downstairs. It was me, Josh, Matt, and Cheeto. Mm-hmm. And Cheeto was telling us his stories about being a single man in LA. And those stories led to us talking about, yo, you have to be careful as a man to make sure no one takes advantage of you. Mm-hmm. And while we're talking about these stories and things that's happened to dudes we know, and it's all comedic and it's fun. And you know, Cheeto's a good storyteller. Josh and Matt are comedic. So we laughing and joking. And while we're laughing and joking, I noticed that Jax has gotten real quiet. So we getting ready to come upstairs. That's when y'all were like, you know, y'all ready to come upstairs and eat.
Oh, yeah. We heard you guys were having a really in-depth conversation downstairs. So we didn't know what it was about.
I seen that Jax was quiet and I took him upstairs and that's how I was like, yo, you good? He's like, yeah, I'm good. And that's when I seen his eyes well up. And I was like, yo, talk to me, what's up? And he had mentioned that he was just thinking about like life. Mm. And I was like, what you mean about life? And he was just like, you know, I hear y'all talking about like, you know, be careful for women or people taking advantage of you. And it's just a lot to take in. And I said, Jax, you're 12. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the club scene where you have to be at least 21 to get in. So that's 9 years.
Right.
So you're not going to understand this. But I think it's important for you at 12 to sit in a room full of men who I trust. These are all my close friends. Mm-hmm. And if something is bothering you or you're unsure, ask. Mm-hmm. You know, like ask the question. You should have said, Cheeto, like, what do you mean?
Right.
You know, and if Josh made a joke, you should be like, yo, Josh, what you mean by that? Like, you know, try to understand, because also he doesn't understand what's jokes and what's real.
Right.
So sometimes, and what I'm realizing is that when he hears some of the jokes, he doesn't understand
the context
that's just,
too.
Yeah, it's just a joke.
Yeah.
So now he's thinking like, oh, shoot, I got to be alert for that. And now it's overwhelming. Like, I got so much to focus on.
Right. Because at 12, he hasn't even scratched the surface of half of those things. Yeah.
And then that's when, you know, I came back downstairs and I had a full conversation with him in front of Matt and Josh and Cheeto. And I said, bro, you know, tell everybody, you know, how you feel. So, and he told me, he's like, you know, I was just a little concerned and overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And then I could see on Cheeto's face, because Cheeto, you know, he doesn't have kids.
Right.
You know, Josh and Matt are around our kids. And Josh has a daughter who's 8, I believe. So Josh understands what it is to raise a child. So the minute Jack started talking, he went into dad mode, you know. Mm-hmm. Matt went into uncle mode. They just looking at him and he's saying how he feels. And I'm, you know, kind of reiterating how he feels. And Josh, the first one to jump in, it was just like, bro, like, we're not going to judge you. Ask a question. You know, stuck his hand out to give Jax a pound.
Yeah.
Then I watched Jack's chest kind of go like,
yeah.
Because he didn't want to feel judged. And I said, well, why didn't you want to say something to ask the question? And he said, well, I didn't want to sound stupid. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I also didn't want to be a punk because it was making me emotional. So I was just holding it in. I was just going to go upstairs. Mm. And that's what made me want to have the conversation on the podcast about being able to see your kids. Mm-hmm. Not just be, you know, I see my son, he's right there. No, I can see something is going on with you.
Right.
And then when we went upstairs to talk, he started to share more about some anxieties he was having about life in general and about how overwhelming sometimes basketball and coding and tutoring and sometimes the pressure can become. And that's when you walked in the room.
I see.
So it wasn't just about basketball and coding. It was about being 12 and feeling like he always has to get lessons taught about what to be aware of. Mm-hmm. And the world can be daunting sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that middle school age is such a critical age and period for the development of boys and girls, right? Yeah. And we speak freely in front of our children a lot of the times when we do have, like you said, trusted adults who can now say, hey, let's rally around. We talk about like having men in our corner who can be around our children. At
That's
the live show, remember Carter asked.
Right, yes.
You know, she said, you know, I have, she's in a same-sex relationship. Mm-hmm. And she said, I'm not a man, but my fiance has a son who's 12 and I can't teach him how to be a man. So what's the best way to be able to help rally around him?
I'm glad you brought that up because I should have said it that night that I am a man and I think I'm the most masculine, manly man that I could be, but I still surround my son with other men
that
I trust.
And that's where I'm going with it, you know, because sometimes Jackson doesn't want to hear from dad again.
Right.
Think about how many times you've told him some things and he's now heard it from a different perspective, from Jay or from Roger or somebody else, and then it clicks differently because it's a different perspective that's just echoing what you think.
Yeah.
So the fact that you have and we have a village of strong men who we trust around our son, I think is invaluable, but also Jackson's not the kid that takes things for surface value either.
No, he thinks.
Like, he is a thinker.
He's a thinker.
He's a thinker. He internalizes. He's an empath. So because of that, it is very necessary, I think, for him especially to have those touch bases, which you then in turn had. And then I walked into, you know, him saying like, okay, what's too much? What are some things that are on your plate right now that maybe we have to alleviate so that way you can enjoy? And he said, you know, I just want sometimes to come home and play with Cairo and Kaz and Coda.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and you should be able to do that, bro. Yes. You're 12. You're 12. You know, but again, we did an episode of a podcast, I think previously, where we talked about kind of over-parenting and trying to make sure that we just don't screw our kid up. So it's like we can foresee all of these things that are going to potentially happen. So you're trying to prevent them from happening by over-parenting and not allowing your child to just enjoy the process of life. So that was an eye opener, I think, for you and I last night, you know, when I came upstairs and I saw that he was really emotional, and we just wanted to make sure that he knew that he was fully supported in whatever it is that he wanted to do. He was like, Mom, is it cool if I take a little break from coding, maybe start up in the summer again when I don't have as much basketball? I'm like, bro, say less. Yeah. I only do these things and enroll you in these things because you show the interest.
You do as a mom. You definitely don't say you got to do this. You want to do this. I'm gonna find out where.
I'm gonna find the best place.
I'm gonna research.
I'm gonna pull out all the reinforcements. But it's according to what you want to do. I'm never gonna push anything on you. So I said you wanted to take a break from coding in a previous football season because it was a lot. We can take a break during basketball season. And he says, "Is it okay if I take it up during the summer because I don't have school?" Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because when I do take something like that away, though, I want him to also understand that we're not quitting. We're just deferring until you're better able to do it, because you do also have to be well-rounded.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be a great student. You have to be a good athlete. You have to have other things happening to make you a well-rounded individual. So
absolutely.
I'm happy that he felt comfortable. Like you said, you see that like calm come over him when he feels like, damn, my mom and dad have my back and I can talk to them about anything.
Well, that's also why I said, preface it by saying, make sure you see your children, because Jackson and I also had a brief conversation last night. I didn't want to push it too much, but we were talking about the dating process and I saw him getting emotional and getting kind of like overwhelmed. So then we went upstairs and I said, hey, you do understand? I said, you know, are you attracted to women? Are you attracted to men? Like, I had that conversation with him too. And he's like, no, I'm attracted to women. Why? And so I'm asking because you got emotional when we were talking about the dating process. I also don't want you to ever feel like you have to be something that you may not be because you want us to
feel accepted.
Accept
absolutely.
You. So he's like, no, I'm accepted. I'm attracted to women. I just want, and I said, I'm just asking because I want you to know now.
Right.
That if you're not, and then if you are attracted to men, this is something that we can talk about. And it's something that you can walk in and you can feel safe here.
Yes.
But it's important to see your children when they're going through something and make it clear to them that no matter what you're going through, I'm here.
Oh, for sure.
I'm here. When he talked about, you know, being overwhelmed, I said, dude, if you want to quit basketball tomorrow, stop.
Oh, well.
You're 12. You don't have to play basketball your whole life.
Right.
Like, and when I tell parents, because I have a unique perspective, being a mentor for 12 years, mentoring young men and women, between 500 and 700 young men and women. Mm-hmm. I've watched these men and women, young men and women, go through so many different versions of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I've watched how they've changed.
Mm-hmm.
I've also noticed how middle school is that fork in the road.
Yes.
The middle school is that time where if they don't believe that someone in their life is in their corner,
or they're not confident in who they are becoming,
they're going to find someone to advocate for them. And that advocation, I don't even know if there's a word, right.
Advocacy
could come from the streets.
Yep.
And I don't want that for my kids.
Or from a very poor source.
Right.
Meaning their friends who are also not equipped.
That's what I mean by the streets.
Right.
The friends, outside.
Not equipped to be able to tell them anything, social media, whatever it is. Because there's but so much that you can protect your children from. So that's why so much of it starts at home. And I think that's why you and I are so like hands-on in that sense with them. Because
I want to see my kids.
We want to see them through.
Every day my boys come home, they have a responsibility. You got to come find me, find your mother, say what's up.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hug you right after school.
Right. I want to know what school was like.
Look in your eyes right after school. How was school today? And if I ask you how school today and your head go down and you look, what's up? What's mm-hmm. what happened in school?
Exactly.
If you're smiling, then I know everything is good. Mm-hmm. When I look in your eyes are a little glossy and you look a little yellowish, I'm like, you ain't feeling good. Let me feel you. Let me check the temperature.
Let me jam that birth thermometer in your ear.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm good for that. Because like, I'm going to get the real temperature. Like, I got to touch your brain.
You jam the shit in my ear.
My bad.
It's still ringing.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, but you good though, right?
I hope. I can't hear.
Can you hear me?
I can't hear you, but I hope.
A one, two.
But no, it's just, as parents, sometimes we get caught up in our own lives, and we also get caught up in work and stuff, that when your kids come in and out of the house, you don't mm-hmm. even realize who your child is.
Yeah.
I remember when I used to do social media checks at Prototype, and it was guaranteed. I mean, mandatory.
Mm-hmm.
It was mandatory that if you're going to join the program, I have to have access to your Facebook, Instagram, and at the time it was Snapchat.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember having a meeting with parents, and I'm just like, you know, we want to meet about your child's social media. Oh, my child doesn't have social media.
Oh.
Oh. Well. Who, why you say that? My child don't even have a phone.
Oh.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
You don't. Coach Val, my child has a phone. Well, I have their phone. I don't know.
We have a phone.
I don't know whose phone it is, but I have it.
Right.
And there's definitely a Snapchat and an Instagram, and there's definitely profile pictures, and there's definitely mm-hmm. messages being sent between your child and
somebody
members
daughter.
Some of the opposite sex. And I think you might want to see it, because the stuff that I'm seeing could be classified as child pornography.
Baby.
And that's when I seen parents go.
I forget. There's probably like a, I don't think there's a percentage, but I saw somewhere, I think it was Ashley Chia, my girl that posted it, and she said, like, your children, particularly once they reach middle school age.
I'm like, damn.
Sorry.
Where are they going to school at middle age?
Middle school age, you don't really know who your child is. And I laughed at that because I'm just like, damn, when I was in like middle school, high school, did my parents really know who the hell I was?
No.
Because I was out there doing shit, into shit, okay?
Yep.
Because I was so, like, protected that I was like, ha, ha, I just want to do all the things.
Seventh grade is when I fell in love with booty.
That's Jackson, seventh grade.
Seventh grade is when I fell in love with booty. That's when I started grabbing girls' butts, and girls was putting stuff in my pants and trying to play hide and go get it. Like, seventh grade is when kids start to experiment with each other, and you know what I'm saying? Like,
but they
present
to their parents something completely different.
Absolutely.
Like, my parents would have never been like, in high school, they'd have been like, Khadid?
Quiet boy. They didn't know you was a freak.
Mm.
Your mom still don't know you're a freak.
Period.
She was at the live podcast called Show Like This.
Poor Mimi was at the live. I told her, I already told her. She was just like, I don't understand why I'm the only parent who hasn't been to a show yet. And I don't know. I said, well, the Val's parents came because they have a sense of humor. I said, you don't have that. Okay, what I'm saying? And dad is just happy to be there. I said, you're the one that judges, sis. So I can't have you judging me while I'm on stage performing for these people. Sorry. She said she just closed her ears.
She closed her ears?
During some portions of the show.
Did she close her eyes? As your ass swallowed that freaking leotard every show. And even though they tried to double tape the cheeks,
listen,
they tried to, and TD cakes kept coming out. Swallowed.
Yo, Triple is wild for that video. It was the funniest shit ever. She was like, I don't want to get in trouble posting it. People think I didn't get your permission. I was like, Triple, post that shit.
That shit was funny.
I was like, Kermit with the head on, the put on, like, post it and pin my comments, sis, because that shit is hilarious.
It was funny.
A whole mess. All right, let's jump into some facts and stats. We're talking about how well you know your children and making that probing parenting something that is regular in your household. Experts believe that a parent's intuition is real and is defined as an innate ability to know what is best for your child. I think all parents are pretty much born with that.
Yeah,
when your child is born, such is the parent's intuition. Parents' intuition is also defined as gut feelings, the idea of making decisions without analytical reasoning. Experts say gut feelings are signals from the brain to the gastrointestinal tract and vice versa.
And that's why the whole thing is trust my gut.
Trust my gut.
Because when you feel nervous or anxious, it normally go right to the stomach. How many times you had to take a shit? Like, nah, something ain't right.
Bro, I felt like that before every show. But I like didn't have to poop, but it was like you feel like you gotta go. Experts believe that nonverbal cues may account for up to 93% of communication. General nonverbal cues include body language, hand gestures and touch, tone of voice, facial expression, eye contact, space, and physical boundaries.
So
huge.
I want to talk about each one of these, body language, right? I've yeah. learned this from mentoring the kids.
Yeah.
Anytime something was wrong with the kids, with a child, I could tell from the minute they walked in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
When their shoulders were slouched, aura. When they're walking a step slower, when they're away from the group.
Heads hanging low.
That's the first sign.
Sluggish.
When sluggish, slouched shoulders, you know, not looking up. I'm like, something's wrong. So I would watch.
They say weight of the world, right?
Yes.
On their shoulders.
And I would watch how they interact with their peers first, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then I look at hand gestures and touch. Yo, let me get a pound, right? You go to give a kid a pound. They give you the dead fish pound. You grab their hand. You know what I'm saying? You go to grab their hand and they just let their hand die in your hand. It's almost like they've given up.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what's going on? What's going on? Nothing, Coach DeVal. I'm good.
Tone of voice.
Tone of voice. No, no, no. I'm good, Coach DeVal. The fake smile.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't look you in your
the
way.
Eye.
They don't look you in the eye. See, eye contact is the main
expression.
Thing with Jackson.
Look at me.
Look at me.
How many times we say that? Look at me.
And when I look him in his eyes, when something's wrong, you know what happens?
Mm-hmm. Tears.
Tears. When he's fine, and I let him like, look
the same
at me.
Way.
He's like.
Cairo's the same way.
Eye contact is probably 99% of the nonverbal cues. If
mm-hmm.
your child cannot look you in the eye without breaking down,
mm-hmm.
something is going on.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause
they know their parents know and they don't want you to know what's going yeah. on. So they're trying to hide it.
Yep.
And then when they're looking in your eyes and their eyes start to well up and you say, I can see. 'Cause
mm-hmm.
Jackson knows to say, I'm saying, why you about to cry?
I'm not about to cry. Yeah.
I'm not gonna cry, I'm not gonna cry. I said, Jackson, your eyes are welling up. Then he stops talking and then I see the fall.
Because that'd be the worst too. When you're trying to not cry and then somebody keeps telling you, I see you're about to cry, that makes the cry like literally like on the verge, on the tip, like about to fall. Always.
Right.
But these are so, it's so spot on. Mm-hmm. They're absolutely right about all of this.
One thing I know about Jax too, space and boundaries. When Jax doesn't want to tell me something, but he wants me to probe and figure out, he's always around me.
In the vicinity.
Orbiting.
Yes.
Orbiting. And it's like he's orbiting and talking about something that has nothing to do with nothing.
Right.
You know, it's like he's kicking a can, and he's moving around, and I'm just like, yo, what's up?
Trying to figure out when's the best time to say something about it.
And they often say this, yo, Jax, what's up, huh? Huh. When I hear the huh, I know something. What you mean, huh? Nothing. Okay. But you're standing here, but you're not talking to me. You're
mm-hmm.
not looking at me. You don't want to play pool. You don't want to work out. Tell me what's going on. No, I was just, you know, I'm just a little concerned because, all right, whatever you're concerned about, let's talk about
it. That happened one time with a grade that he got he wasn't happy about, and he knew I wasn't going to be happy about it, but he knows I check his grades every week. So he knew it was coming. It was almost Friday, and he was just like, shit, the grades are probably going to go in.
Yeah.
Let me get before the problem and just let mom know and prepare for it and say, you know what, mom, I that was my bad. I didn't do X, Y, Z. I should have been better prepared, yada, yada, yada. So everything that I told him, that I would have told him, he told me to tell, like he's telling himself.
He was telling him, yeah.
Yeah, because he knew exactly where I was going to go with it. But I'm like, that's progress, because at least now he's holding himself accountable. He know that he didn't do anything. That's the consequence for not doing your stuff, and you got to deal with it. As your child develops communication skills, they will use a range of nonverbal cues to convey messages or feelings.
And that's where we are with all of them. Because I know we're talking about Jackson a lot now because he's in that middle school range.
Mm-hmm.
But I've noticed that with Cairo and Kaz as well.
Mm-hmm.
When something's not right with them,
mm-hmm.
they tend to probe around me because
mm-hmm.
they don't know how to say it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like they know that my dad will figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And Kaz, who's the most nonverbal of all of them,
mm-hmm.
he'll just come. And he'll just sit, and I'm like, what's up? What's up, bro? Nothing? Why you not with your brothers? Quiet, just sitting there quiet. And I'm like, you just want to sit with dad for a minute?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yes.
He does the same thing with me.
You
mom,
see that?
Mom, can we sit on the couch together? And
typically,
I'm like, sure.
That's
and we
when
just
something
sometimes
is
sit,
wrong.
Yeah. And sometimes he just wants his time.
He just wants his space.
Time.
He wants his time
he
with
wants
you.
His time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I just give him that. I'm like, sometimes in the mornings before school, he'll have breakfast. We'll have a couple minutes before he has to get dressed. And he's like,
yeah.
Mom, can we snuggle on the couch?
But
and they'll come over.
I think that it's important for you to give him that time, too, because
mm-hmm.
that creates a safe space where they also know that something doesn't always have to be wrong to be with my parents.
Oh my God, absolutely.
I just
want
to spend time with my parents.
Yes.
And that's okay.
And that may be his cry in that moment for like, okay, Mom, I haven't had that one-on-one time with my mom in a minute. So this is me asking for that. And I always make sure that I give it to him. Cairo's a little bit more like, he'll look at you and he won't say anything.
Yeah.
You know, but you can see it all in his eyes.
It's all in his eyes.
Cairo
boy.
Is like, of all four of them, it is in his eyes. And he's super sensitive.
And he gonna let it out. He's losing every time I play Jackson. He's losing.
That's usually his biggest gripe now is losing.
Because he's seven, so losing at anything sucks. I'm like, yo, your brother is 5 years older than you, my G. You're not gonna beat him in 1-on-1 right now in a basket where your brother does not have to jump to dunk, bro. He's Wemby right now, and you Steph Curry. Okay, just relax. Like he's. He's like,
those
but Wemby doesn't
have
championships.
Have
I said, exactly.
Because then he'll start rolling out all the stats, too. All the stats. Oh, my goodness. How do you distinguish your parents' intuition from your own fear or personal anxiety that you have while parenting? That's a good question. Because I don't know. I think sometimes it gets muddled, for me at least. My parents' intuition versus just like trying to save them from the things that I fear happening. That's hard for me as a mom, particularly because I know you've said, like, you got to let them live. But it's just like the struggle with seeing like, damn, this could potentially be a detriment, but I gotta let them do it. I know the stakes are low because they're younger now, but I can just foresee that being probably more of an issue for me as they get older.
But that should be what you fall on. For me, that's what it is.
Intuition versus fear?
No. Understanding that the stakes are low. So whatever they fail at now or they're not good at now, they're 2, 5, 2, 6, 7, and 12. Is it really that big of a deal? No. And I've learned to curb my own fear and anxiety about failing for myself. So for me, is if I've learned to not even think about fear, like I really don't care about fear or failing. Mm-hmm. You're going to fail at everything you try the first time.
Right.
So now that I know that, watching my sons go through stuff and failing to me is just part of the process. So I don't have an anxiety. Like Jackson with basketball, my biggest thing in the beginning with basketball is wanting him to be so good because I know all the secrets to how he can get there.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that it doesn't matter what I know, Jackson is going to have to fail over and over and over again on his own so that he can learn the things I know.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I've learned that, I don't care. Like, I can't will my son to the NBA.
Right.
If he's going to go to the NBA, he's going to have to want to go first.
Mm-hmm.
Then he's going to have to fail and fail and fail until he figures out his way to the NBA. That's given me a sense of peace that I can just support him in whatever it is he want to do, even his failures.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's how I kind of curb my anxiety because I don't care what they do. Like, I don't care what Cairo, Kaz, Jackson, or Dakota do for fun, what they do for a profession. I just want them to enjoy their life.
Mm-hmm.
So now that I've been able to accept that, my anxiety about what they do is like non-existent. Jackson's about to start AAU. He's going to be playing on the Nike EYBL circuit, the toughest circuit in all of basketball. I don't care. There's going to be some tournaments I'm not going to go just because Cairo was starting track and so was Kaz. I can't go, Jax.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm watching him kind of be like, it's not that big a deal. I'm like, no, Jax, you're 12.
That's it.
You're playing basketball.
Yep. You're with a trusted adult. Go do your thing. Have fun. That's all. Our biggest thing is have fun. We want you to have fun.
But
that's
I will always keep my eyes on my kids.
Oh, like, forget it.
Jackson's going to be playing on the Nike EYBL circuit.
You're going to be sneaking in?
No. He's going to be with Jay.
Uh-huh.
So he's going to be with someone that I picked that I trust.
Oh, for sure.
So I don't have to worry about what's happening because I already know Jay.
Mm-hmm.
So my eyes are already there. Yo, Jay, just tell me what happened.
That's a fact. That's the beauty in the village, baby. The beauty in the village. All right, y'all, we're going to take a quick break and move into listener letters. But let's do some ads first, and then we will be back.
During the break, let's quickly talk about a couple things that are important to most people I know. Comfort and style. Crocs, classic clogs, and sandals have both covered.
When I'm talking about style, I mean personal style. There are just so many colors and so many Jibbitz charms that you can add to the Crocs to make them unique. You can dress up your Crocs to match your mood, to match your personality, to fit the occasion, and you can change them up day to day.
I mean, ultimately, you can stand out from the crowd in a way that only you can because it's your personal style. And now, let's talk about comfort. You know, it doesn't get better than Crocs, clogs, and sandals when it comes to being comfortable. Style and comfort are usually a trade-off, but here, They're a package deal. It's like you have cushions on your feet. Soft, stylish, personalized, colorful cushions.
That's right. So why wait? Head over to Crocs.com today and experience the comfort and style of Crocs classic clogs and sandals for yourself. Your feet will thank you.
All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought so. And get this. Nair, yes, Nair, the OG that I used for years, has now leveled up. And they have these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell amazing. My personal favorite, coconut oil and vitamin E because it's gentle on my skin. And down to the body cream, rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, which is a modern take on indulgent and classic femininity. Okay? It works in as little as 3 minutes, no nicks, no cuts, and the smooth skin lasts days longer than shaving. Nair's new sensational shower and body creams are free of all those nasty chemicals, so you can feel good about what you're putting on your skin. Have a me time moment with Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
All right. You want to go first, babe, or should I?
It's up to you, baby. Whatever you want to do.
All right. I guess I'll dive in. What up, though? What up, though? Hey. Can't wait to see you guys in Dallas and New York. Oh, shit. So here we are after the fact, and we've seen you in Dallas and New York. You hope you had a great time. I couldn't celebrate my birthday in the month of January due to work, so I'm making this trip my birthday trip, yes, a month late, because why the hell not? That's the spirit, baby, because I celebrated 40 all the way up to it and still going to be celebrating in the year of 40 with Tavel. Because if it's his birthday, it's my birthday, too.
I knew that was coming.
Anyway, I've been a listener for a little while now, and I appreciate your podcast because it's the first time I allow myself to be inspired instead of intimidated. That's a really good way of looking at it. That's dope. It's also helped me address my imposter syndrome and social anxiety instead of allowing them to be an unnecessary barrier. I love that. Not getting too deep into the minutiae of why I'm writing in today, but I just turned 29 and I've recently taken the time to see what I want and what I'm meant to do. Prayer, time in silence, and a whole lot of talking to myself revealed something I'd known for a long time and gave me permission to dream big and bet on myself. I used to allow people to make me feel bad for being all over the place, quote unquote, until I realized two things. One, fuck those people.
Facts.
Absolutely. They're just comfortable with my complacency. Yes. Say that shit again. Yes. And number two, it's possible to have a vision that will make a difference in more than one area of the community. The only person limiting myself was me. Right on,
go,
baby.
There you go.
It sounds like you got everything figured out.
I'm about
out.
To say, she sounds
good.
That's
the way to question it. So I started actively pursuing those goals little by little. From health, I've committed to working out, and I'm 15 pounds down already. Good stuff. To write a book, to looking up acting classes or beginner jobs, even starting the foundation research for starting my own podcast and launching my own small business, just to name those closest to my heart.
If you really want to start a podcast, you'd ask Tribble.
Oh, yeah. Ash Tribble. That being said, how do you align yourself to the career of your dreams with zero resources to begin with? Well, Tribble's a resource.
Facts.
First and foremost. Sometimes I find myself doing research and I feel like I don't know what I'm searching for. I've taught myself pretty much everything as far as I can remember. I damn near raised myself. However, one thing God has shown me time and time again is that doing it alone is a recipe for destruction.
Thanks.
Being stuck isn't an option, much like losing. So how do you align yourself with a path that you don't know how to carve? Yours truly, your favorite awkward black girl. That's a great letter.
But to be honest, man, I think that that's everybody's struggle. And they feel like they don't have resources when in actuality, there's resources everywhere. I remember when I first got out of the NFL, I was like, I don't know how to get into acting. And I just thought for a minute and I was like, oh, shoot, my Aunt Adrienne's been acting since I was alive. Mm-hmm. Let me ask her where to start.
Yep.
And she pointed me in the right direction. She asked me, she said, listen, can you just take me to an audition? So I drove her to an audition. While driving her to an audition, she talked to me about the industry, about advocating for myself. Then she said to me, I have a commercial agent I want to introduce you to. That was a resource. From there, thought about my Aunt Chadi because my cousin Kale was in TV. I said, Aunt Chadi, do you have any resources? The moral of the story is there are tons of resources around. People typically don't know how to ask for help or they're afraid to ask for help because they might get laughed at or shot down. Lastly, the greatest internet you have, I mean, the greatest resource you have is the internet. You can literally Google anything to figure out. And once you figure out what it is you want to do, you have to use discernment to figure out what's bullshit and what's real.
Mm-hmm.
And there are definitely ways, depending on what industry you want to get into, decide or to figure out, discern what's bullshit and what's real.
Yeah, that's great advice, I think, because like you said, we all just had moments where it's like, I want to do this, but how do I start? Especially if it's an unconventional path or route. Like for me, when I was in school, for example, I was a great student because I said, all right, I need to do XYZ classes with this many credits to be able to get this degree. Perfect. And then once I graduated from school and you're out in the real world now trying to actually find a job and make something of yourself and start the career, it's that much more difficult because you're just like, okay, I don't know how to actually navigate a field that doesn't necessarily have a cookie cutter blueprint of how you're supposed to do things, particularly the arts or performance. So that was hard for me in the beginning. So I understand that mindset.
Mm-hmm.
But talking to specifically her saying that being all over the place feeling because there's so many things that you want to do and you're passionate about, you listed a couple things here: writing a book, acting classes, beginner job, foundation to start your own podcast, small business. Maybe it's going to require you to focus on one thing in that moment. So what are you most passionate about right now? Because doing a lot of busy work is the ideal way to, what did they say, move but not go anywhere.
Yeah, movement is not progress.
Movement is not progress. For example,
you can do jumping jacks in place for an hour and you can move for an hour, but you haven't progressed anywhere.
Yeah.
Or you can jog for an hour and you can go somewhere and you can see different parts. And that's just an analogy, because some people will say doing jumping jacks still helps you progress physically.
Right.
But the point is that all movement is not good movement.
Good movement, exactly. Some of it's just busy work.
To go back to what you said, I think it's very important. You have so many different things. You can be a jack of all trades, but you will be a master at none.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, mastery is the only way you can be compensated for the work that you do.
Yep.
And in order to be a master at something, it takes a thousand movements for that movement to become muscle memory.
Mm-hmm.
Once you have muscle memory, that's when you become a master.
Right. And so you still have to perfect it then.
You have to perfect it.
Yeah.
But the problem is that if you're all over the place and you're working on this one day and that one day and then this one day, you've never took your time to do the 1,000 movements to become a master.
You're spread thin, because then you're going to need about 5,000 movements.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? As you spread it across all of the different things you want to do versus focusing on one thing. So that would be that for me would be the biggest advice to you, is that it seems like you have a lot figured out. You believe in yourself. You're just like, fuck what everybody else got to say. That's exactly how we feel. Just try to focus that energy on something specific in that moment, because think about how these things can evolve. For Deval and I, for example, it started with social media, right? So we're doing vlogs, we're doing videos and all that good stuff. That propelled us into then what? A podcast.
Right.
So we focused on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
After focusing on the podcast for a couple years, that propelled us into what? The book. now I'm working on what's the business going to be. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So there was a succession of things Absolutely. That happened over time because we started putting the work and the energy into one thing that helped to propel us into something else. So I hope that's helpful for you. Our favorite awkward Black girl, thank you for coming on tour with us to Dallas and New York. We hope you had an amazing time.
Number two. Hey, Kadeen and DeVal. I love you guys and your family so much. We love you too. I need some advice and want to get your perspective. I'm 27 years old and have been with my fiance, 28, for 10 years and engaged for almost 2 years now. My fiance has gotten to the point where he just wants to go to the courthouse and get married and not have a wedding or reception due to finances at this time. I'd personally rather wait and save to have a wedding ceremony. I don't want this big, lavish wedding. I just want something small and intimate with close friends and family. Am I being selfish for wanting to wait? My fiance states he's ready for me to be his wife and move forward with building a life together. For years, we've talked about getting married, and now that the moment has come, I don't want this special moment to be rushed. We have had ups and downs in our relationship, but have always managed to make it through, and the love we have for each other is endless. What should I do? When did you know you were ready to get married? Are you ever really fully ready for marriage?
Man, this is literally us at 27 and 28.
So here's the biggest advice I can give you. We can't give you advice. You have to speak to him. He has to speak to you. You two have to decide what's in the best interest for each other as a collective and individually and make a decision. If I were to sit here and say, definitely don't get married and don't have the big wedding, but then you guys regret it later on, that's bad advice. Mm-hmm. If I tell you to have the wedding and do something you love, but then you don't have the finances to create the life you want, mm-hmm. that would be bad advice. Mm-hmm. Moral of the story is only you two can decide what's in the best interest for each other. And that's how Kadeen and I decided what was in the best interest for each other. We talked about it. We made a decision. And once we made a decision, we stuck with the decision no matter what happens after that. Mm-hmm. Because there's no book to life, right? All you have to do is make a decision. You make choices. And after you make that choice, you deal with the consequences that come with that choice. The good thing about being married is when you make a choice, you now have a partner to deal with whatever consequences together. So yep. Y'all two sit down together, decide financially what's in the best interest for you. And I mean, I can help a little bit when it comes to finances. He probably knows that he wants to create a life for you. If he can't create the life that he wants to create for you because he's going to use majority of those finances for one day, that's why he doesn't want to do that. But I also understand after listening to my wife that it was her dream to get married a certain way. So what we decided to do was compromise. I asked her if she wanted the house or if she wanted the wedding. In that moment, she wanted the wedding. So did I. So we had the wedding. We already had two properties, and now we got the house later. Mm-hmm. That worked for us only because we spoke about it, not because someone else told us what to do. So no, I don't think you're being selfish. I think you guys need to continuously talk about it and come up with a solution together.
Yeah. And to piggyback off of that, everything you said was completely accurate. I agree. Don't hold any standards of what you guys should do based on other people and what they're doing. And Thanks. It's particularly hard in the social media age. Like, we got married 13 years ago when social media wasn't huge or it wasn't a thing. Mm-hmm. But now it seems to be there's that, you know, that it's like an unspoken competition for like whose wedding can go viral. And though you said that you didn't want to have a big lavish wedding, I don't think you should cheat yourself on the moment and the memory and creating that experience for you and your fiance. Right. But never discount or discredit or take for granted the plan that a man has. Mm. DeVal has always said to me that he had a plan for us, and we've spoken about the plan. Mm-hmm. So in echoing DeVal saying that you guys should speak with each other about really why is it that he doesn't want to have a wedding and just wants to do the courthouse, he might say, babe, I have this much money saved.
Yeah.
If we have this wedding, it's going to take away from this nest egg because I really want us to look for a house and have somewhere to invest in a tangible, appreciating asset. And then maybe we can have a small dinner with friends and family. Like, there can be a compromise in this. But if your fiance is the kind of man that has a plan and has ambition and knows what he wants your life to look like, and he's a provider, that's something for me that I think is super valuable to have as long as you guys are on the same page. And it doesn't necessarily require that you guys have one versus the other. Try to find a way to make both happen and you can compromise.
I agree. But something you said didn't make a lot of sense. Don't sacrifice the rest of your life for one day. A lot of people think this is what, but this is important to me. So one day is more important than the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying don't have a wedding. What I'm saying is when you're making these decisions, just think about the reality of that.
Of that, for sure.
That this is one day and then there's the rest of your life.
That's a fact. But don't wait the rest of your lives to write us at deadassadvice@gmail.com because we enjoy these listener letters so much. So if you have something that you're debating, you know, we still have deadass court kind of sort of happening from the live show.
Facts.
This is like our version of it here. But the listener letters, we're trying to give you guys the best advice as possible. So if you want to be featured as a listener letter, be sure to email us at deadassadvice@gmail.com.
That's deadassadvice@gmail.com.
All right, moment of truth. We're talking about them babies like we always are, knowing your kids, parents' intuition, being the probing parent, seeing and feeling your children. What you got for us, babe?
My moment of truth for this one is simple, right? Probing as a parent is your right because you are responsible for that human, right? Probing doesn't mean that you violate boundaries. You sneak in their room. Probing means you can look at your children in the eyes. You can hug them. You can feel them. And you can tell without them having to say a word exactly what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Dope. My moment of truth is, as a parent, never underestimate the power in nonverbals with your children. And that's just connection. That's looking into their eyes, making that eye contact. The hug, I believe it's like something like 7 or 12 seconds or something like that. There's a certain amount of time that you're supposed to hug someone for there to be that transfer
that of connection.
Energy and connection and the release of oxytocin. Like, let's not discount how that nonverbal can really, really help to strengthen that connection and that bond that you have with your child. And simultaneously, that parent intuition and gut feeling that we get, that usually doesn't lie. So if you feel like something might be off with your child, trust how you feel as a parent, because I think that that's something that's God-given the minute you have a child that's there as a resource for us to stay connected to our children.
There's one thing I'd like to add. I didn't tell this. There's one thing I do with all of my sons. I hug them and I say, did I tell you I love you today?
Mm-hmm. And you do it with me too.
I do it to you all the time. And I ask them and they'll either say yes or no. And when they say yes, I say when. And they have to tell me when. Mm-hmm. And I say, did you tell me back?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I do that is because when they see me now, they know my dad is going to ask me this question. And they feel like my dad cares.
Absolutely.
And they want to know that we
and
care.
They don't want days to pass before dad
no,
gave
it's every day.
Said yes.
It sounds like a lot, but realistically, think about it. For you to hug your child and say, did I tell you I love you today?
Mm-hmm.
That it, you can never be too busy to do that. Because my children will say to me, dad, you didn't tell me you hugged me today. You love me today.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, I didn't? And they'd be like, no. And then I have to think about it. I'm like, come here. And I'm like, and I punch him like, why didn't you come over here so I can hug you? And then they grab me and we like wrestling and stuff. But it also puts accountability as a parent when your child can tell you, you didn't tell me you love me today.
Yeah. And they just reciprocate it naturally because I get a ton of just, I'm in the kitchen cooking, washing dishes, whatever. And Jackson will come put his arm around you. I love you, mom. You're a great mom. I'm like, you're a great son. Like, you know, those moments are just, they're doing and they're living exactly what.
Right.
We're doing and preaching, you know. So, all right, y'all, be sure to follow us on social media if you are not already. Deadass the Podcast is our page. I'm Kadeen, I am. And then we have Patreon gang, gang, gang. That's where you see exclusive Deadass Podcast content, video, after show, all day K, more exclusive Ellis content. Where you at on social media, babe?
Y'all know me. I am DeVal. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe, and make sure you get your copy of We Over Me, the counterintuitive approach to getting everything you want out of your relationship.
Deadass, baby.
Cut.
Deadass is a production of iHeartMedia Podcast Network and is produced by Denora Pena and Tribble. Follow the podcast on social media at Deadass the Podcast and never miss a thing.
You know, that I feel like it's important to express yourself. You got to put your true self out there. And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do that.
That's right. Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know it doesn't get any more comfortable than the Croc clogs and sandals. They are just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit Crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference.
That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule.
It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.